What's up, everyone? This is Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio, and I am joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are brought to you by grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find Buzzer Beaters on YouTube, Pandora, Rumble, Facebook, X, pretty much anywhere you can find your podcasts. And as you can see, I changed my look a little bit here, guys. I had to shave off the whites, man, because you know what? People at work.
What's wrong with the whites, bro? What's wrong with the whites?
I was like big time, man, you know? And it's like a big contrast with me being dark and the white. I don't know, man. I was looking like the Salvadorian Santa Claus, man. I don't like it too much.
I like it. Pupusa Claus.
My wife said, you know what? It's a good look on you, but you know what? It's starting to make you look a little older than you really are. So you might want to change it up. So that's why I'm here doing it differently here. But anyway.
Oh,
Buzzer Beaters is a podcast dedicated to basketball. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were here with Angel Johnson, who's actually going to be our WNBA specialist. And she actually was planning to be here, but she went to a wedding, an offsite wedding this week. So she's going to be here next week because, you know, the WNBA is hot right now. It's playoff time for the WNBA. And, you know, we want to talk about that because we know that there's fans out there the WNBA. And I got to tell you, Tuan, the more and more people I talk to, friends of mine that are basketball, you know, aficionados, they're watching the WNBA, man. So yeah. It is hot, man. And I got to admit, I watch highlights of here and there. I mean, this class of rookies, I mean, they have definitely put, you know, the WNBA on the map for the general public. So we're going to talk about that next time. But this time, we are going to talk about the upcoming NBA season. Now, again, we are live, okay, live, everyone, because we want to hear from you, all right? So we're going to be here every Wednesday from here on out. We were doing it every 2 weeks because, you know, the NBA had kind of stopped when the Team USA had won the gold, as well as the WNBA team won gold as well. And we decided to go ahead and do it every 2 weeks. But now that the preseason is starting next week, man, the preseason is starting
already
next week. Yes, it's going to be started with the Celtics and the Nuggets next Friday. So that's the first game. So what Tuan and I are going to do here for the next 4 weeks, again, we're going to be doing this every week now from here on out until the NBA Finals, until Team USA again, you know, Team USA won't be next year. It's going to be another 4 years. But until the NBA Finals is over, that's when we're going to do it every week. And then when it's over, we're going to do it every 2 weeks. But anyway, we're going to cover all 30 teams here in the next 4 weeks. Now, we're going to go with the format that we're going to cover 4 teams from the West, 4 teams from the East. I'm going to cover 2 teams each from the East and the West. Tuan's going to cover 2 teams from the East and the West. And that's how we're going to go ahead and pursue here. So for this week, we're going to go ahead and cover the following teams. And by the way, there is no rhyme or reason to this, right? We are just picking people randomly or picking teams randomly. So the teams that we're going to cover this week, Tuan's going to cover the Kings, the Warriors, the Cavs, the Pistons. I'm going to cover the Blazers, Wolves, Bucks, and Pacers. So let's go ahead and get started, Tuan. I know that you're going to go ahead and delve into the Kings first. So let's go ahead and get going with the Kings team preview.
All right. Awesome. Well, as you guys can see on the banner here, last year, the Kings ranked 14th with a little over 117 points, and that is points per 100 possessions. That was their offensive rating, and they were ranking 15th. In defensive rating, allowing 116 points per 100 possessions, which gave them a net difference of plus 1.67. So they were about a medium-ranked team, I would say, in terms of both offensive and defensive rankings. Just for a little refresher here, last year the Kings ended in 9th place, which qualified them for the play-in game. They ended with a record of 46-36. And in the play-in game, they lost to the Pelicans, to the New Orleans Pelicans. They lost that game. They had a sort of active, well, I would say pretty active offseason in terms of some roster changes that they had. They drafted Devin Carter with the 13th pick.
I like that player, man. I like that player.
That was a good pickup.
That's yep. a player, man. Yeah. Well, we didn't get to see him in the summer league at all. He didn't really play.
No, we didn't. He didn't make any of our comments. Yeah, now that you bring it up, when we talked, we never brought him up.
Yep.
And then Jamal Sheed was in the second round, the 15th pick of the second round for them. Key additions, DeMar DeRozan. So that was a key addition. Orlando Robinson, Jalen McDaniels, and then they signed Isaac Jones to a two-way contract. So those were kind of their key additions. in terms of projecting starting five. So we're just kind of spitballing here and seeing what we think would be the starting five. I'm going to go with De'Aaron Fox at point guard, Kevin Huerter at small forward. Shooting guard. DeMar DeRozan at small forward, Keegan Murray as power forward, and then DeMontis Sabonis as center. That's what I project would be the starting five.
Eddie, so let me ask you this. What do you think of that starting five, man? Did this scare you, or is it kind of – I mean, is it – it seems respectable, right?
I think it's more than respectable. I think it's a pretty solid squad. I think they'll end up – well, I'll kind of give it away here a little bit. I think they'll be a better team than they were last year.
I think so. Yeah. DeMar DeRozan is actually, you know, I wouldn't say he's a difference maker, but he's definitely going to be a key contributor. I mean, he makes that team better for sure.
Absolutely. And he's a calming force as a veteran. You know, yep. He's the kind of guy that won't allow a lot of runs to take place. You know, if the other team gets on a roll, as everyone who's followed DeMar DeRozan, he's the king of the mid game. You know, he obviously expanded that now.
In the mid range. Yep.
King of the mid range. Yep. And so, you know, he's an offensive weapon and can pretty much score anywhere on the court. My projected standing and record. So I think the Sacramento Kings are going to end up sixth in the West this year.
Oh, wow. So they're going to avoid the play-in, you think?
Yes, I think they're going to avoid the play-in. Yep.
All right.
Barely, but they're going to avoid it. And I think they're going to end up somewhere around a 47-35 record.
Right on. Hey, real quick, we got a comment here. Oh, it's my cousin Lewis. What's up, right. Lewis? Welcome back, fellas. I've missed you too. Good news that we're doing weekly. Right on, Lewis. Thanks for joining in, man. Thanks for listening, Lewis. Thanks for the support.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Any comments, feedback, any talking points on the Kings there?
You know, the team is – it's interesting. It's something that you pointed out, and I remember this when we were doing the draft review. And you had mentioned that the Kings, as much as they shoot three-pointers, are very inefficient at it.
They are.
And it doesn't scream out at you, man. You know, it doesn't, you know. And it's interesting because I guess you don't really notice it too much because of how many threes they throw up. And they actually make a good clip. But I didn't think that it was that dramatic. And I remember you saying that. And so
– yeah, want to say they rank 19th in three-point efficiency.
And DeMar DeRozan isn't a three-point shooter. He's gotten better. He's the king of the mid-range. But he's definitely developed a three-point shot. So, yes, I think that, you know, he can definitely stretch it out a little bit. But, you know, they're going to be reliant on – you know, the Keegan Murray's of the world, the Kevin Huerter's of the world. Kevin Huerter's still on the team, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So Kevin
Huerter's got him as the starting shooting guard.
Yeah. So you know, if they need 3-point shooting, I mean, Devin Carter isn't a 3-point shooter. He's a defensive guy, right? And that's what they really need. The Sacramento Kings, that's where they lack is defensive rating. I mean, they're 15. That's middle of the pack, right in the middle, right? There's 30 teams. They're right there in the middle.
But
the 1.67 is right in the middle as well. So if they can get better defensive rating, then I mean, that's going to be the difference maker. And, you know, I got to tell you, as we cover all the other teams here, the net rating is a big tell of how good a team is, man.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, Boston is crazy. They're at a number like 11.67 net rating. That's incredible, man. No wonder they were like the number one team, right? It's incredible. But anyway, so, I think that, you know, the Kings ousted our Warriors last year, right? And that was tough. That was a tough pill to swallow because usually the Warriors, especially, you know, even if they play up in Sacramento, they usually can beat that team, man, in Sacramento because that's kind of like, you know, a lot of Warrior fans traveled to Sacramento. When Sacramento Kings took out the Warriors, that was a tough pill to swallow. No one expected that, man. Nobody, right? So yeah. I'm sure that's a good segue for your next team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I was going to say is, you know, talking about three-point efficiency, the curious thing is, you know, everyone focuses on individual players, what their percentage is. If they can hit the 40% mark seems to be the magic number in three-pointers, right? If you can hit 40%, that's really where you want to be. But no one talks about team efficiency in terms of three-point. They talk about their field goal percentage, and that usually pertains to everything or just the two-point range. So we'll see. That's a metric I'm going to keep an eye on this year and see how that correlates in terms of, you know, the success of a team. But leading into that is our Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, let's get the homerism out of the way, man. This is
our Golden State Warriors.
Man. First show, we'll get it out of the way, man.
Our clayless Golden State Warriors. Yes. All right. So the Warriors last year finished in 10th place with a record of 46-36. Oh, and I forgot the banner here. So the Warriors offensive rating, 118.67, which is good for ninth, which is good. They're in the top 10 of offense.
Respectable, man. That's respectable. Yep,
that is respectable. And their defensive rating was 115th in the 14th place with a net rating of 2.72, which overall has them at 11th, which isn't bad. You know, I guess in this case, we'd have to see of those top 11, how many were Western teams versus Eastern teams, because obviously you want to be in the top 8 of your conference in order to make the playoffs, or at least in order to be a competitive team in the playoffs. But in terms of last year, like I mentioned, they finished in 10th place with a record of 46-36, which interestingly enough was a better record than they had the previous year, but didn't go as far because they lost to the Kings, as you mentioned, in the play-in game.
Since you asked about the top 15 teams, is that what your number was? How many were from the West?
Of the net ratings,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the Warriors were 11th.
Yes.
In those top 11, how many were Western teams versus Eastern teams?
So now, not counting the Warriors. Are we want to count the Warriors?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Without the Warriors, there are 6 of the top 10 are from the West.
Okay, so that's an interesting metric, because then you would have thought that they would have been a little bit higher in their seeding than they were.
Correct. That's what surprises me. When I saw the ratings of the Warriors, I'm like, it screams out. They should have been way better, man. And it goes to show you, you know, them losing Draymond Green, right? For, you know, suspensions, right? That in itself.
I have a hard time with the word losing, Eddie. Gave it away is more
okay,
like.
Okay, okay, okay. Whatever word you want to use, man. But if Draymond Green had not lost out on those games, they would have easily been one of the top 6 teams in the West. I mean, the stats tell you that, right?
Yes.
But they lost. I mean, he missed 20 games, man. And that's that's a fourth of the season, man.
Correct.
So, yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
And just to mention, you know, one thing that is going to be interesting, kind of homerism coming through, Andrew Wiggins' father passed away.
Yeah.
And as for anybody who's been tracking the Warriors, Andrew Wiggins has had long pockets of being out, you know, away on family matters, both last 2 seasons, really. And I wonder if a lot of that had to do with his father. I'm assuming it did.
I think it did.
So that might at least present a little more consistent presence for Andrew Wiggins this coming season.
But you don't think, though, Twan, is that we don't know how, you know, everybody grieves differently, man. I mean, you and I have dealt with a significant loss in our life in the last couple years, man.
Yep.
And it took me a while to shake that one, bro. A while, okay? It took me over a year. Over a year, man, to be kind of feeling like I'm back to myself, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I was a professional basketball player, could I have been there with the same amount of focus? I don't know, man. I don't think so. I could have played, but I probably wouldn't have been the same player that, you know, you know of me from back in the day, right? I wouldn't have been that player, man. That's
an excellent point, Eddie. And Wiggins has always been a player that people question his motivation and his energy level even before all of this.
Yep.
So you're right. We might get a very lesser version of Andrew Wiggins this upcoming season. You're right. It just depends on how he mourns. You know, maybe it's a relief off his chest. Maybe his father was suffering. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on his situation.
Yeah.
But it's situational. It depends on what it was, you know, and how much his father was potentially suffering.
But we've seen players, you know, I think in the NFL, the one that really stands out in the NFL to me is when Brett Favre's dad passed away. And you remember that Monday night game?
He had the game of his
life.
Against the Raiders, yes.
He has the game of his life.
Yes.
So some people, you know, look at it, it's their sanctuary to go back to do something that gets their mind off things, right? Yep. And for me, you know, going back to working on that, it definitely helped. But, man, there was always still in the back of my mind all the stuff that was running through my head when I was going through that loss, just like you did, I'm sure, dude, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right? I mean, you know, there's still moments now, like, you know, minutes here or minutes there or a time here or a time there or a memory here or a memory there that still impacts you. So it's hard to tell. I guess I was looking more from his participation on the team.
Yeah.
So there's less of a need for him to have to, you know, leave an absence, I guess, an extended absence. But again, I don't know if those were the reasons he was leaving to begin with. Might have been other reasons, right? There was a lot of speculation that I don't want to repeat here, but, you know, there's other things that were potentially going on as well.
Yeah, I hear
you. All right. All right, moving on to the roster changes for the Warriors. So the Warriors only had one draft pick, thanks to, I believe, the Iguodala trade, where we lost our pick to Utah, I think that was. Right. But in any case, Quinton Post with the 52nd pick, which I don't know if you've
seen. Boston
College. And they recently just signed him to a two-way contract, which was interesting.
Interesting. And, you know, yes. we saw him in the summer league, and he looked, you know, he looked like he had a decent shot. You know, I mean, is he an NBA player? I don't know. I mean, but he looked okay. And the thing is, what you're looking at in the summer league are the teams that you draft, the players that you drafted, are they standing out amongst the crowd, right?
Yep.
And absolutely, I didn't see him really stand out amongst the crowd, nor did I see him really kind of, you know, falter either. He was just kind of middle of the road type of player, in my opinion. But he didn't really play all the games. He only played like a couple. So
yeah, he played a handful. He didn't play in the California Classic, and he played only in a handful of the summer league. But yeah, he had a nice stroke. That would be helpful with the Warriors, but we need someone with a stroke and that can block shots, right? We need somebody that can play
into the defense. That's the one thing we're missing, man. That's the one thing the Warriors are missing, man. Anyway. Yeah.
All right, let's see. And also, just as of today, where I saw Kevin Knox, who was on the Warriors summer league team, they just signed him to a one-year contract. The Warriors just
did they really?
Yes, I saw that this morning. So I just kind of quickly noted that and wanted to bring that up here on the podcast.
You know what's a trip about this guy, man? The guy's been in the league for 7 years, man.
Yeah.
And that's a trip. He was out there, you know, playing summer league still, right? It's like, whoa, man, 7 years and you're doing – yeah, so anyway.
Well, you know what I just read, too, the other day? Danilo Gallinari, he's a free agent. He's got no team right now.
Oh, my God. That wouldn't be a bad fight. But he's a shadow of himself.
Oh, he is. And he gets hurt all the time. But
– yeah.
I mean, at one point, that was an easy player.
By the way, here's a question for my cousin Lewis. All right. Any shot on the Warriors picking up another player, hopefully a bigger guy?
A bigger guy, I don't see it, to be honest with you. You know, they like the bigs they have. Kevon Looney, I've been watching him. He's been losing some weight. He looks thinner. I don't know what that's supposed to mean overall. But, you know, and furthermore, I think when it comes to the catch with the Warriors is that when it comes to crunch time, Draymond's going to play center. If Draymond's there, Draymond's going to be the center. That's really fundamentally what's going to happen. You know,
The thing is, man, I mean, it can only take us so far, man. He needs a blow as well. And when that happens, all hell breaks loose from a defensive standpoint, right? They need somebody to back up Draymond when he's not in the game.
And well, Jackson Davis is his second year. I'm hopeful that he'll be able to grow. I mean, offensively, I like the direction he's going. He was growing in a very nice direction. Defensively is where I'd like to, you know, and he wasn't a slouch. I'm not saying he was bad on defense, but if he can grow on the defensive end, then he can spell Draymond here for a couple of, you know.
And let me ask you, have you already talked about the projected starting lineup?
I have not, but I just wanted to go through the rest of the roster changes. Daquan Plowden, they signed him as a free agent.
But I heard that they waived him, man.
Yeah, so they waived him, I believe, to sign Kevin Knox.
Correct. Okay.
And that they're going to extend him a training camp invite.
Okay. Okay.
So
he's going to compete. He's going to compete for a roster spot, essentially.
Correct. And then the big three, obviously, De'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, slow mo, as we all like to, and Buddy Hield. The replacements for Klay Thompson, right? The three headed monsters replacing Klay, and then Reese Beekman, who they signed as a free agent as well.
Oh, yeah, the dude. He's from Virginia, I think.
Yep, signed him as a two-way contract.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy, yeah.
Yep, and then Usman Garuba.
He played for the Rockets in years past. Yeah. I remember him, yeah.
All right. So my projector starters for this is obviously Steph at point guard. I think they're going to start Pajemski. So I think he's going to be the
– It's a small backcourt, though. That's what concerns me.
It is.
Small backcourt, man.
But it's a tough backcourt.
Yeah.
You know, Pajemski's a tough defender. Then we got Wiggins as small forward. We got Kuminga as power forward, and we got Draymond as center.
Let me ask you this: Do you think that they will go ahead? And I mean, the thing is, Kuminga, he's got he shows flashes, right? I mean, the guy has got uber athleticism. I mean, like big time athleticism. His shot has gotten better. He can drive to the basket. He can post up, but not traditionally, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that. What's interesting is that last year, towards the end of the season, the Warriors were experimenting with the Trayce Jackson-Davis-Draymond Green combo. you know, mm-hmm. down low. And from a defensive standpoint, it did very well. Now, from an offensive standpoint, I mean, you're losing out on two guys right there that really can't shoot very well. Although Draymond had his best 3-point shooting, you know, percentage in his career, right? Yes. That's like almost 40%. That's crazy. Anyway, yep. but so, you know, the only thing was with Draymond, he might start hooking up threes more this year, man, because he said, oh, I'm another freaking, you know, splash brother. I'm a splash cousin. And now that Klay Thompson isn't here, he's going to think he might have to step up to do that, man.
That's I hope not, because that's not a good idea. Hopefully he'll let Buddy Hield come in the second team and fill some of that. I also, interestingly enough, I saw an article where the Warriors there's no plans right now for the Warriors to sign Kuminga to the max contract.
That's crazy, man. Wow. So
that is interesting. I, you know, and I'll be honest with you, Eddie. At this point, I don't know if I'd do it either.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening is I think Dunleavy and the brass are saying, okay, we're not going to sign you. We want to see what you're made of. They want to see if that motivates this kid to show out. And it's possible Correct. It might work, you know?
Correct.
I don't know if he's the type of player. He seems to me like the sensitive type of kid that this might kind of piss him off. That's just my read on his personality, just from afar, without really interacting with him. He just seems like the type of guy. But we shall see. I mean,
and to me, when I look at Kuminga, I look at IQ versus athleticism. There's no question. There's no question.
Uber athleticism.
It's the IQ part, because at some point that athleticism is going to slip away, and you're going to not be the fastest guy or the highest jumper. So what do you do then? And when you're signing someone to a 4 or 5 year long contract, that might come into play even as early as now. So we'll see. We'll see.
Right.
Well, I got the Warriors projected as the 8th seed with a record of 45-37. So they will be in the play-in game again. That's what I'm predicting. I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but that's where I'm at. All right, Eddie, let's jump over to you now.
We got Portland, man. Okay, again, audience, we are jumping around. There is no rhyme or reason, and we're doing this by design, because we don't necessarily want to cover the conference so it's so predictable. I mean, some of you out there are Portland Trail Blazer fans, right? And we're hoping you're tuning in right now. But we don't have it alphabetical. We just randomly picked an order, right? And we did this for a reason, right?
I know Clyde Drexler's watching, so.
Clyde Drexler, Jerome Kersey.
Yeah,
you know, remember we were talking about Angel? Angel said that Jerome Kersey went to her school.
Yes.
Longwood or whatever it was.
Yes, yeah. Jerome Kersey. Duckworth. Jerome. Kevin Duckworth is somewhere.
Kevin Duckworth. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly, man. Oh, Rick man. Adelman. Jeez, Rick yes. Adelman's watching right now. Anyway. All right, man. So,
by the way, has coached every single team that we've gone over.
Pretty much.
Up to this point.
Oh, including our Warriors, right?
The Kings, the Warriors, the Trailblazers.
All right, man. So the Portland Trailblazers, they were 21-61 last year, finished 15th in the conference. Ooh. If you looked at their numbers, right, from an analytics standpoint, their offensive rating, they score 109.34 points per 100 possessions. That's what offensive rating tells you, okay? That ranked for second to last in the NBA, all right?
Yes.
Their defensive rating is 118.6. That ranked for 23rd in the NBA. No wonder, right? They're near at the very bottom of the conference. That gave you the net rating of -9.26. So that tells you for every 100 possessions, they're going to be outscored by almost 10 points in that time frame, right? That is rough. But what's interesting, man, is this team's got talent, right? So some of the transactions that they made, right? So they drafted Donovan Clingan out of UConn. I mean, the guy actually played well in the summer league. I mean, remember we were talking about the eye test? You know, that's what we want to look at in the summer league. We want to look at guys who stand out. And Donovan Clingan actually stood out to me, right, in the summer league, because he was a defensive presence. His offensive game isn't there, but that's not really what he's there for. He's there for rebounding and shot blocking. Although his rebounding was kind of maybe not the greatest for his size, you know, he'll probably have to work at that. But, you know, that kid is going to be good, man, a good defensive presence. He's a good backup to DeAndre Ayton. And there's speculation. What does this mean long term? Is DeAndre Ayton out? You know, I don't know, man. DeAndre Ayton's got an offensive game that Donovan Clingan just aspires to get to, right? So
back to your family member Luis's question. Big man. There's a big man that maybe we can do something with.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's why not? You mean talking about the DeAndre Ayton, right?
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton. Kuminga for Ayton. Would you do it, Eddie?
You know what? You know, I think I would, as long as he is okay with his role. the thing, let's talk about that real quickly.
Yep.
In the Team USA games, right? Mm-hmm. We saw Steve Kerr implement his offense with Team USA, maybe a shadow of his offense. He doesn't want to give up all of his secrets to all these superstars, right?
Yep.
But we all know he definitely did a number on Jason Tatum, right? Oh my God, he hardly even played. Let's see how he shows up this year, Jason Tatum. That might motivate him to be a beast. We shall see. But what I wanted to point out is that you're bringing up DeAndre Ayton on the Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. We saw that what happens, you know, Joel Embiid, you know, we saw him kind of struggle early on with Team USA. He's the type of guy that needs a ball in his hands, right? And yep. and the Warriors' offense doesn't really predicate itself on having an offensive-minded, you know, big man, right?
Yes, correct.
They want somebody who does all the dirty work, like an Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis thrived in Steve Kerr's offense, man. That's exactly what the Warriors need. An Anthony Davis type, someone who just lets the offense come to him, doesn't have to dictate things, just does all the dirty work, shot blocking, rebounds, you know, screens. I mean, Anthony Davis to me is the epitome of what the Warriors need from an offense.
Eddie, you bring that up, and actually that's an excellent point. I never appreciated Anthony Davis as much as I did on that Olympic squad.
Yep.
And I actually, it made me rethink what his role should be. He should not be, based on what I saw, he should not be a player that the offense, that he has to impact the offense.
Right, right.
The offense has to be secondary to him.
Correct. And that's and that's what he does. I mean, I don't want to say that. He doesn't actually do that on the Lakers. He's actually somebody that they lean on. I mean, it's LeBron and Anthony Davis. Yeah, exactly. But I think that, you know, J.J. Redick probably took some notes here going, huh, that's interesting that Steve Kerr really didn't utilize him this way, and he thrived. So we shall see if J.J. Redick does anything similar with Anthony Davis. But anyway, the whole reason I'm bringing that up is because you had brought up DeAndre Ayton of the Portland Trailblazers. This is what we're talking about right now. And thinking he might be a good fit for the Warriors, I'm saying that, you know, he's kind of offensive-minded in a sense. And I don't know if he would thrive in that system, but we shall see. But not a bad thought. Something worth considering, right?
Yeah.
All right. So other transactions that the Portland Trailblazers made, they actually acquired Denny Avdija from the Washington Wizards. And they gave him up for Malcolm Brogdon and a bunch of draft picks, right? A draft pick that became Carlton Bud Parrington, who actually looked like a pretty good player, man, in summer league. So and he's one of the guys that I picked in my draft, and I, of course, lost that against you, man. But anyway, so they picked up.
You're not bitter.
I am, dude. I'm not competitive, bro. Dude, I don't like losing, bro. But anyway, so they picked up the team option on Delano Banton. Those were the transactions they had. So they got Klingon from the draft, Denny Avdija through a trade, and then Delano Banton, and they lost Malcolm Brogdon, right? So what I anticipate for their projected starting lineup. Now, this team, as I mentioned, they actually have some decent talent, right? They have Scoot Henderson and Anthony Simons. Now, Anthony Simons was injured most of the year last year, right? And that guy's got skills. He's got skills. He can shoot. He can drive. I mean, he's super athletic, too. I mean, he won a dunk contest, right? I mean, this guy's super athletic. You have Denny Avdija, right, who's a kind of a good outside shooting defensive kind of guy. You have Jeremy Grant and DeAndre Ayton, right? I mean, that's, if you look at that lineup, it doesn't look that bad. The problem is that the Scoot Henderson as a point guard, he's one of these combo guards. But the thing is, he really can't shoot very well. He's a good rebounding guy. He's a big dude. He looks like a linebacker out there, man. I mean, he's a big dude.
He's a big guy.
He looks like Baron Davis 2.0, honestly. You know, I know we're always bringing it up to the Warriors. But anyway, but if you look at that starting lineup, it looks pretty good. I mean, decent. Honestly, if I were really looking at it, I mean, Jeremy Grant is a decent player. He's not like a superstar. He's decent, but they're not – all these guys are not superstars. They're just all a bunch of good, decent players. And then if you look at their rotation, they have Shaedon Sharpe. Shaedon Sharpe is another who's super athletic, right? He's a guy that can come off the bench and provide offense. He's kind of like in the mold of Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, he's kind of like that type of guy. And then Delano Banton, I mean, he's actually a pretty good defensive – you know, has some shots too. And then, of course, the newly acquired Donovan Klingon. And then we also talked about – we haven't talked about Robert Williams. He missed almost the entire year last year.
Right, yeah. Really,
like him when he was the Boston Celtics. I mean, that guy, then you have like Matisse Thybulle, you know, he's a good defensive guy. You know, he can shoot here and there. And then you have Jabari Walker. I mean, that's their rotation. You know, when we looked at their offseason transactions, we gave them a C, right? We thought, okay, bring in Denny Avdia. They gave up a lot to get that guy. They have too many centers. You know, they have Williams, Ayton, Klingon. We shall see what happens, right? But how I project these guys to finish. Now, I didn't go by record. I didn't do record like you did, so bravo that you did that. I'm just saying that they have two potential up-and-coming stars. I want to say superstars, but stars in the making, potentially in Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson. It just, these guys are young. They're both athletic. They just need to develop a consistent outside shot. I mean, in the NBA, you need to have an outside shot, right? The West is competitive, man. We know it. Every team is gotten better or is already better, you know, in the West. So I see these guys probably maybe 5 wins more potentially, right? But that's not going to get them really anywhere. I mean, that's going to get them to 26 wins, right? I mean, it's still going to be a cellar dweller in the West, man. But, you know, in my opinion, I think that these guys are going to be in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes, man. Cooper Flagg, remember that kid?
Ooh, yes.
Oh, no, Summer League. The Team USA, you know, they were working out.
I watched him.
That's good, man.
He's
going to be in the sweepstakes for that. So that's it for the Portland Trailblazers. Any other comments or before we move on to the Timberwolves?
No. Good insight. The Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. That's something we need to watch. I think teams are going to halfway through the season, they're going to go, you know what? That's enough. Let's go get Cooper.
Dude, that kid looks good. I mean, he stood out even with the Team USA guys, man. Yeah. Wow. I mean, this kid looks good. So anyway, we shall see. I mean, he's going to go to Duke. He's going to be one year and done. Everybody's going to be watching this kid on Duke this year and see how he plays, man. But this kid's going to be good. Anyway, so we can go now to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't want to say Washington Wizards, but Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, so Minnesota, they were third in the conference. They had a 56-26 record. They were ousted by the Mavericks in 5 in the conference finals, which was a surprise.
I had picked them for the finals.
Yes, you did. But yeah. Good call that they almost got there. But man, the Mavericks—they're a team to watch out for too, man. Especially with the trade that they did this season last year, that made that team really formidable, man. Yeah. So, but anyway,
well, I didn't imagine Kyrie would be. I knew he was good, so this wasn't a question of talent, but knowing how to apply his talent. I didn't give him the credit that much to know how to apply it in the playoffs, and he really, really impressed me.
Right.
Really impressed me.
No, I agree. I mean, for sure. I mean, we all know that Kyrie Irving, you know,
he's probably one of the most skilled point guards in the league, if not the most skilled.
Correct. Yeah, he's very skilled. It's just that, you know, he's, I don't know, you kind of question the way, you know, I don't want to say his, I don't know.
Well, that's the hard part. You don't know if
he's an enigma.
Desire, or you don't know if it's him just being standoffish,
or just disinterested,
aloof. Yeah, it's so hard to tell with him.
Not playing with his buddies. I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know what it is. But anyway,
he really turned it around, though.
But when he's engaged, man. I mean, hey, you know, you're playing with a Luka Doncic, who's arguably top 2 or 3 players in the NBA. You know, he's gonna want to. I mean, he's got a shot to win another championship, right? So. He definitely wants to cement his legacy, especially in his older years, right? So, but anyway, going back to the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? These guys, like I said, third in the conference. They had an offensive rating of 116.63 points. That's 16th in the NBA. But if you look at their defensive rating, 109.98. Yes. That's first. So the net rating was 6.65. That tells you for 100 possessions, they're going to outscore you by 6.65 points. That's third best in the NBA. And as I mentioned, Boston's net rating, number one, 11.71.
That's insane.
I mean, that's insane. It's almost double, right?
So the tricky part for Minnesota is figuring out how to improve the offense without affecting the defense.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. So some of the transactions that they made. Okay, they drafted Rob Dillingham. They got that from the Spurs. Draft day trade. They drafted Terrence Shannon. They re-signed Luka Garza, and they also signed PJ Dozier, signed Jingles. Remember Jingles, Joe Ingles, to a 1-year deal.
Yes.
And they lost Kyle Anderson. They lost him to the Warriors. They lost Jordan McLaughlin to Sacramento. They lost Monty Morris to the Suns. And they lost somebody that really wasn't playing that much and Wendell Moore Jr. to Detroit. So, you know, overall, I would say their offseason looked pretty good, especially because, you know, they were already good. And then they got a Rob Dillingham. Like, he's like arguably the top, one of the top three best players in this draft, right? And he fell
offensively, yes. And Shannon offensive. Is no slouch offensively small, either. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so the projected starting lineup and rotation. So I have them, you know, Mike Conley, that's the guy that I know you love. Mike Conley's our point guard. We have this up and coming superstar in the making, Anthony Edwards. We have small forward Jaden McDaniels. And then we have Karl Anthony Towns, who missed a lot of time last year because of injury. And then we have the, you know, defensive player of the year, kind of seems to be that person every freaking year, is Rudy Gobert, right? I mean, there's no denying it. That guy's a very, very good defensive player because he's very versatile. He can guard perimeter, he can guard down low. He is a presence, right? And he's long. So
he catches so much crap though, Eddie, you know?
Yeah, I know. He's like, just that
guy. People mess with him. He's got one of those faces, I guess. People like to mess with him.
He does. All right. Hey, everyone, thanks for listening in. Just a reminder, we are live because we want to hear from you, right? Any questions or commentary that you have on any topic that we're talking about or any topics you want us to talk about in the coming weeks, please feel free to post them. All right. So as far as projected finish, Minnesota is a team, man. They are in a win now mode right now. Defense is their identity, right? They got these other players, Terrence Shannon and Rob Dillingham are going to play a big role because losing that Kyle Anderson and Amonte Morris, I mean, those guys are veterans. They're good defensive players. They're smart players. Losing those two guys is going to hurt. So that means that these two guys that they drafted are going to have to step up and have a bigger role than I think that the Timberwolves, their front office anticipated, right? So, yeah. So I see these guys probably being still, you know, in the number one or number two seed, assuming that everybody stays healthy, that they don't lose like Anthony Edwards to an injury, because if that happens, then they're screwed. I mean, but I anticipate these guys probably winning 3 to 4 more wins than last year. So that's my goal. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that would put them, you know, in the 60 win range for next year.
Yeah, that's okay. All right.
Twan, do you remember like early in the season last year when they were playing the Warriors? They were like, how in the hell did we lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves? Yes. Like almost in back-to-back games. We're like, what the Timberwolves, right? And then lo and behold, these guys became like a force overnight. It just happened overnight, right?
And how we lost is that number one defensive rating is how we lost.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We put the clamps on.
Exactly. All right, man. So now we're going over to your stuff, man. Any other comments or questions on the Minnesota Timberwolves before we move on, man?
No. Good information. I'm actually surprised you voted them a little better. I'm wondering if they're going to have a little bit of a hangover from last season. Last season was very tiring. You could tell Anthony Edwards was worn down. Plus, he played in the Olympics this offseason. So I'm wondering, you know, with some of these players that played in the Olympics, LeBron, Steph, I'm wondering what their energy levels are going to be like coming into the season, and what that impact might be.
Yeah, you know, okay. The older guys on the team, and Karl Anthony Towns isn't old, but he's not young either. Rudy Gobert is definitely on the older side. And then, you know, we have Anthony Edwards, who's, you know, he's scratching the surface in the 20s, right? But Mike Conley is old, right? The Rob Dillingham's newly acquired. They have Naz Reid, right?
Naz Reid, which is a good maintainer.
Actually, yeah, we didn't even talk about, you know, the lineups there, man. So, the projected starting lineup, you know, for these guys is Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Karl Anthony Towns, and then Rudy Gobert. Then we have Naz Reid, Terrence Shannon, Nikhil Alexander Walker, right? I mean, these guys are all pretty good players. The only thing is Dillingham and Terrence Shannon are going to have to step up. I mean, Naz Reid, he's the sixth player of the year, right? For, you know, and Nikhil Alexander Walker, you know, who's the cousin of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, by the way. And he's a very good defensive player. So, you know, these guys, I think, are going to be, you know, still an issue, you know, because they have some youth that's coming off the bench to spell some of these older guys. So I think that's why I think they're going to be still near the top again. So we're going to your stuff, man. Now we're going to the East.
We're going East with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Spider Mitchell's Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, let's see. In terms of their ratings, as you can see, offensively, they were 18th. And defensive, they were 7th for an overall net rating of plus 2.41, which had them right around 13th. which is interesting simply on this metric, because if I recall correctly, the Warriors were 11th in net rating.
Right.
But yet the Cavaliers made it to the second round of the playoffs.
Well, I mean, there's a disparity between the East and the West.
Really. There is. But, you know, but I think you had mentioned there was six teams in that net rating in the West. And that would mean there was, what, five in the East?
Well, out of the top 11.
Yeah, out of the top
11. Out of the top 11, there were seven from the West.
Oh, seven. Okay.
Four from the East. But I didn't go ahead. I didn't include the Warriors. So that's why there were six.
Okay. So eight with the Warriors.
So six and four. Six and four is
six and four. Okay.
Six and four. Got it. Yeah.
All right. All right. So in terms of the playoffs, as I mentioned, the Warriors beat the Warriors. The Cavaliers beat the Magic 4-3 in the first round of the playoffs last year. In the second round, they lost to Boston. They gentlemen sweep. They lost 4-1. Their roster changes. So they drafted Jalen Tyson, who I liked quite a bit. I thought
he looks good, man. Out of Cal.
Quite a gamer.
He looks good, man. Looks good.
The things that stood out with me about him is he was a bigger guy, but played like a smaller guy.
Correct.
And he was very patient, very seasoned. You know, he looked like, if I didn't know any better, it looked like his third or fourth year in the league. He played very within himself. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he does. In terms of activity, they didn't do too much. They brought back Tristan Thompson as a center. So, you know, he was there in the heyday. So he's back there. JT Thor and Luke Travers were signed as two-way. So they're a couple of two-way players that they have.
Okay.
But outside of that, it was fairly quiet. In terms of their projected starters, so I had predicted last year, and I guess they're not going to do anything right now, that I thought that Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell would be.
I agree. I didn't think they were for sure.
They don't seem to mesh very good in the backcourt, but that's the starting backcourt, Garland and Mitchell. In terms of small forward, Max Strus, who's a decent player, will be the small forward. Evan Mobley will be the power forward, and Jared
Allen. I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too. When Jared Allen was hurt, Evan Mobley really stepped up, and it's going to be interesting because I've got them both in there as power forward and center. But that's a pretty tall team right there. That's competitive to the Timberwolves starting five, with Towns and Gobert. So,
Let me ask you this: If Jared Allen had not gotten hurt in the playoffs, do you think this team could have gone farther?
I like Jared Allen quite a bit, and I like his defensive presence. So I don't know if they would have gotten farther, but I think they would have got maybe they would have went out to Celtics 4-2, 4-3, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
You know, the Celtics were just, there's too much team. They were just too much team.
I mean, geez, I mean, a net rating of 11.7.
Yeah, they're too much.
That's crazy, man. I mean, that's unheard of.
I mean, No, I don't think they would have gotten further, but they might have won a game. And they might have beat the Magic in 4-2, 4-1 fashion, you know. So they would have played a couple of games less and played a couple of games more in Boston. My projected standings for them, I've got them coming in at fourth. At 50 games, so I think they're going to win 50 games. I think they're going to be 50 and 32. And last year, just to compare, they were the fourth seed as well, so they were 51 and 31. So I've got them winning a game less this year than they did last year.
Okay. All right. I like this team, man. They definitely have, Spider Mitchell is a problem, for any team to defend. He's a guy that just can carry a team, but I think he needs a lot of help there. And the way that these guys are helping him out is with the bigs, right? I mean, they have, a Max Strus, Darius Garland type guys, and they both are decent shooters, right?
Yeah,
but I think they need somebody who is probably like a small forward type who can shoot and dribble and like a Brandon Ingram type kind of guy, right?
Yeah,
someone like that I think would be a good fit for these guys because that would take them over the top in my opinion.
I always have a concern, like Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, they're energy guys. And what I mean by that is they use up a lot of energy on the court to lead their teams.
Right.
You look at somebody like Luka Doncic, for example. When he's tired, he can still get you from the three-point line. Not that those guys can't shoot, but, that's kind of his bread and butter. He seems to be using less energy on the court than guys like Mitchell. Mitchell was just, by the time they got to the Boston game. I don't think he played the last two or three games. He was beat up. He was tired. You know, Anthony Edwards was pretty worn down by the time they got to Dallas. So, you know, those kind of things, you know, I think they need to start adding other aspects to their game where they can kind of be more of a threat deep, you know, or somehow find ways to conserve energy, because it's a long season. And
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Yep. All right. I think that was it for Cleveland.
All right. Now we go on to your last team over the East.
Oh, the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
Man. So, Eddie, when you were going over the net rating numbers, I thought this was the last team. I don't know who the last team was.
Isn't it surprising that Portland was worse? And Portland, I think, has way more talent than Detroit, honestly.
Absolutely. I mean,
that surprised me.
Pistons were last in their conference. They were the 15th team, you know, with 17 wins and 65 losses. Just look at that. They're 27th in offense and 25th in defense. That's just, whew.
Yeah. But their net rating is 27th, and the Portland Trail Blazers are 29th. Now, a lot of it has to do with Anthony Simons missing a lot of time, right? Yeah. Let's face it, he's their best player. So that's probably the reason. They would finish up higher if that had not happened.
Yeah. Yeah, but Pistons are almost the exact opposite of the Celtics. They're almost the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh yeah, not almost 10 points, whereas the Celtics are plus 11.
Yeah, they're plus 11. Man, that's almost a net 20 difference, Eddie.
Correct. That's huge, huh?
That's just huge. Humongous.
Huge. Yeah.
That's humongous.
We all know, we can see why from the metrics and analytics standpoint why Boston won it, right?
Yeah.
They're poised to win it. They're poised to be, you know, for the next couple of years, you know, vying for a championship again.
Yeah, I think they've got this season for sure. And then I need to see the contract situation, because I think the money's going to start playing a role.
Well, assuming that Steve Kerr didn't get in Jason Tatum's head and just screwed up the whole season for Jason Tatum. That's the one thing, right? We will find out what Jason Tatum was made of right here this season, because he definitely got embarrassed for being like considered one of the best players in the NBA and couldn't crack the rotation at times for Team USA. That's got to be like a big time ego bruiser. I got to tell you this. You know, my ego is huge, bro. Right.
Yeah.
If that happened to me, whoo!
But you got to, I mean, to some degree, you got to look at the players that.
Dude, I'd be fired up, man. I'd be like,
Something tells me he didn't take it like you would have.
Oh, dude, I would be like I would be like a bull in a china shop, man. Give me the freaking ball. Let's go.
Score every time.
And we shall see if he's that way, man. We shall see if Jason Tatum.
He hasn't shown to be that way in the past. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, one of the things that you and I talked about, one of my biggest concerns about Boston winning the championship is that they were so lackadaisical at times.
Yeah, better than everybody. They kind of like the Warriors were like that, man. And they're up and on whenever they want to. And they,
but the Warriors were like that after winning three championships.
Correct.
Not before winning the first one, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was my concern. But we'll see. I'm you know, more than happy to have a lunch over you. But my guess is that his play won't change. He'll be pretty much more or less the same guy.
I don't know. We remember we had that episode about the face of the NBA, right?
He will never be it, Eddie.
Yeah, I know. But he was a guy that we brought up, and the guy that we thought would be the next face of the NBA is potentially like an Anthony Edwards, right? For those of you who haven't seen that episode, we have an episode on who's the future face of the NBA, and it's a good save, highly watched. So please feel free to check that out. Again, we are live because we want to hear from you. Any comments, questions, please feel free to go ahead and post them. But anyway, Jason Tatum, man, we're going to find out what this kid's made of, man, this offseason or this upcoming season.
He's got a little Wiggins in him. I'll tell you that right now.
Man.
He got a little Wiggins.
Out, man.
All right. In terms of the playoffs, obviously the Pistons didn't qualify for the playoffs. Some roster changes this year. So with the draft, they picked up Ron Holland II. So I thought that was a pretty
good guy. Looks good, man.
I like watching him play. I actually don't have him in the starting lineup, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's in that starting lineup sooner than later.
I mean, he should be, man. I mean, they're the 27th ranked freaking net rated team. Come on, man.
You ain't lying, but, you know, we'll see. He's a rookie. And then with the 37th pick, they pick up Bobby Clinton. Let's see. In terms of, as I mentioned, in terms of the projected starters, I've got as point guard Kay Cunningham.
Good player. good player.
Jaden Ivey as a shooting guard, also a good player. Yep. One of the twins, Ozzer Thompson. He's the small forward.
One of the Thompson twins.
And I forgot to mention, they picked up Tobias Harris in the offseason. I'll come back to that here in a minute. So he'll be the power forward. And then Jalen Duren as the center. And they got Beef Stew as a backup. You know, they got Ron Holland. They got Malik Beasley on the bench. So they've got some stuff going on over there. You know, no Wiseman on that court. But let me finish the rest of the acquisition. So Malik Beasley, they picked up Paul Reed, Tobias Harris, Tim Hardaway Jr., Wendell Moore Jr., and Denise Jenkins. They picked all these people up during the offseason.
Okay.
It's not bad.
It's not that bad. I mean, if you look at the first
and actually, in comparing this roster to Portland's roster, I might lean a little more towards Detroit.
It's pretty comparable.
Yeah, it's pretty comparable. I might lean a little bit more towards, you know, because it seems like their bench might be a little Malik Beasley, Ron Holland, Beef Stew. Those guys might be a little bit better of a bench than what Portland has. I think Portland might have a little bit better starting five.
Starting lineup, yeah, there's more depth. From an overall standpoint, you're saying Detroit is deeper.
Yeah, it is. It is deeper. And then,
all right, so hey, listen, you and I have a bet here, bro. All right?
Okay, let's go.
I'm going to bet you that Portland finishes with a better record than the Detroit Pistons. How about that?
All right, I'll take that bet. And, you know, right, one thing before, you're getting on your high horse. Detroit plays in the East, bro.
I know.
They play in the East.
They don't have James Wiseman anymore, bro.
That's true. That they don't have James Wiseman. I forgot where he went to. Where is he at now?
He's in Indiana. He went to the Indiana Pacers.
That's it. He went to the Pacers.
Anyway, that's one of the teams.
And in terms of standings and record, I got Detroit improving one spot in the seed from 50th to 14th.
Okay.
And five more wins at 20-62. That's where I got him.
Okay. That's like maybe two or three wins more.
Yeah.
All right. So,
what I say they have here? They had, let me look here. My notes. Yeah, they had 17 wins. So, three more wins than last season.
All right. So, you're going to say 20 wins. And then Portland had 20, I think 21. I'm saying they're going to be at 25. So, my projection is 25 versus your 21. I'm going to win a lunch for our dinner, man.
All right. We'll see.
I'm going to win something from you, man. Shoot.
We'll see. All right. Moving on. You ready?
What we got next? My team, right?
Your team. Your Milwaukee Bucks.
Right on.
Who,
all right.
Who, in my opinion, made the worst move they ever could have made ever.
In the draft.
Oh, right? Not in the draft. Okay. I'm talking about giving away Holiday and taking Lillard. They should have never done that.
Oh, man.
They pretty much gifted Boston that championship when they did that.
That essentially cemented Drew Holiday to me as a Hall of Fame player, man.
I can't argue with that, Eddie.
Right.
He's got two different championships with two different franchises.
Correct.
And
a difference maker in both. So
correct. And Boston had been knocking at that door for the better part of five seasons, and the first season he goes on there, he pulls him over.
Right.
And him and White were, in my opinion, phenomenal in the USA on the USA.
They're the best defensive backcourt in the NBA, bar none.
Yep.
Nobody can touch that.
No, and that's they're crazy. So deceptively long. Like, White is so deceptive, like a shot blocker.
Yeah.
He's fantastic as a shot blocker.
Yeah,
and I know. You're like, where did this come from? Like,
I know.
I need to watch this guy more.
It's that backcourt that's going to cement that team, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, we saw Jaylen Brown be a junkyard dog, which we're hoping Jason Tatum becomes that. But he's a junkyard dog, man. We saw it this year, right? That's what Jaylen Brown is. And now we're going to hope that Jason Tatum – and dude, if Jason Tatum comes out of the junkyard guard, it's over, man.
This team is going to be a problem for three years to come.
So, but anyway, we'll go to the Bucks. All right, Milwaukee Bucks. They finished 49-33, third in the conference. They were ousted in six games in the first round by the up and coming Indiana Pacers. You can see that their offensive rating at 119.12 points. That's sixth best in the entire NBA. Defensive rating is 116.49. That's 18th best in the NBA. Net rating of 2.64, which is 12th. And the Warriors are better than them. That's interesting, right? Right?
Yep.
On a net rating standpoint. Like I'm saying, man, it's all because of Draymond. Anyway, so transactions, bro. Transactions, right? When you said these guys messed up, I thought you were talking about the draft, man.
No, the draft too. But
AJ Johnson, man. I mean, this guy was supposed to be like considered to be drafted in the second round, and they drafted him at the number 23 pick, right? So, yeah. But, you know, to their credit, he looked halfway decent in the summer league. He didn't look half bad. I thought that, you know, he did stand out sometimes, right? They also drafted Tyler Smith from the G League Ignite at number 33. He was projected to be a first-round pick but slipped. So he slipped to the second round, being the third pick in the second round. So
they got value in the second round and maybe stretched it in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So then they signed DeLon Wright from Miami for 1 year. They also signed Taurean Prince from the Lakers for a one-year contract. They signed Gary Trent Jr. from the Raptors for a one-year contract. So, but they've lost Malik Beasley to the aforementioned Pistons. And then they also lost Patrick Beverley. Do you know where Patrick Beverley went?
I believe he's playing overseas.
Right. He's playing in Tel Aviv. He's playing for Israel. Yep.
Yes.
All right. So
he said, I've had enough of this Steph Curry guy. I'm leaving.
You know what? Steph Curry is probably really happy that he's not in the league anymore, because in my opinion, I thought he played Steph Curry the best out of all the guards. He was
He's baby Draymond. Should have brought him on the Warriors. Could have had two Draymonds. Two for the price of one.
Right. All right, man. So lineup and rotation. So their lineup is going to be the same. Their lineup is very veteran. Okay, they have Damian Lillard as a point guard. They have Chris Middleton, you know, who's sometimes on the team and sometimes not because he's injured a lot. And then you have Pat Connaughton, who is their small forward. And then you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is their power forward. And then Brook Lopez as their starting center. Their average age, bro, is 33 years old. For that starting lineup.
That's an old squad.
That's an old squad. And you know what? They looked old in the playoffs last year. I mean, granted, they didn't have Giannis because Giannis got hurt, right? And they didn't have Damian Lillard for a couple games and that's why they got ousted in the first round because of that. I mean, that was way too much to overcome, you know, and they're already old. And the problem is with an old team, you know, injury is going to be a factor. And I think that this team, in order for them to stay where they're at as a third seed, they have to stay healthy, man. And the guy that they have on their bench, you know, other than Bobby Portis, you know, they're not proven, man. They have DeLon Wright. I mean, DeLon Wright's a good player, right? He is a good defensive player. He played for the Miami Heat. You know, he's a defensive guy. They had this Andre Jackson who was on the team last year. You know, he actually shows flashes, honestly. And then you got the newly acquired Tyler Smith, right? So, you know, that team, you know, and then you have A.J. Johnson, of course. A.J. Johnson, they drafted. I mean, he's going to come off the bench. But this team is old, man. And, you know, when we looked at their offseason, you know, transactions, we gave these guys a D-plus right after the draft and right after all the free agency and stuff, because I think that they just didn't do enough, man, in my opinion. So, but, you know, they are still talented. And if they stay, you know, healthy, they're going to be an issue, but I don't see them being, you know, a third seed.
First of all, Eddie, they're not going to stay healthy.
I know, because that's what happens. When you're 33 or older, man, you get old. I mean, you get injured, right? Yep. You know how it is, man. We get injured easy now. We're freaking on our 50s, man. We get injured just getting out of bed, bro. But but anyway, so you know, I don't think these guys. I think their window is closed, unfortunately. And you know, Giannis needs to go somewhere else if he wants to win another championship. And hey, man, come to Golden State, bro, because we know that Steph Curry and him are buds. But you know, and we know Lakers would do anything to get that guy. But, you know, he needs to go to another team to win another one, because this team isn't going to do it because they're too old. And I think they missed out.
I agree. So, and to keep harping on the same, you know, I'm curious what this does to Lillard's reputation as an NBA star or as an NBA player. You know, he was supposed to be there to kind of push him over the edge. And it seems like almost the opposite happened. It seems like they got worse.
They did. It's because defense is what wins championships, man. I mean, it tells you that. I mean, the top teams defensively were all far in the playoffs, man. So defense wins championships. That's not something that you just hear as a flash in the pan comment. It's the truth, man. And they lost that defense, right?
So and they're 18th ranked, 18th defense, as you have here on your banner. So
yep. So that's it for the Bucks, man. We can go on to the next one. And, hey, we're at an hour, man. We're almost done.
By the way, you remember, I predicted these guys go a long way in the playoffs, too. You remember that?
Yeah, you did, man.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Talk about getting screwed or whatever. Halliburton got the same treatment as Tatum.
Halliburton got the same treatment as Tatum. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He hardly played. And the few minutes he played, he was actually very productive.
You know, you're right. But, man, you know, remember we were kind of breaking down all of the stats for all these players? Man, he was hurting, man, as far as being able to put up any stats. I mean, he had one good game, honestly, and that's it. It was the first game. And then after that, I don't know what he did to be in the doghouse. I don't know if he was in the doghouse. Kerr probably just thought he had, you know, better options out there other than him.
Well, he did. He did. Yeah. And the truth is he had better options than Tatum. You know?
Man, that's tough, man. That's a tough.
What I'm saying, Eddie, is the way I look at it is Tatum better than White? Yes. There's no argument. But on a particular team, you need certain aspects to make it work. It's chemistry. And the impact that Tatum has wasn't going to be more impactful than Edwards or Steph or LeBron. He just wasn't better than the role that he would have had on that team.
Yeah, maybe. But you could argue that Devin Booker really didn't have that great of a Team USA, you know, run, honestly.
But Devin Booker had communicated he had no desire to – he'll do whatever he needs to do.
Yeah.
Help the team win.
He doesn't have to shoot. He just needs to facilitate.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I personally don't think it was a slap in Tatum's face. You're just behind veterans. You know, if you had a USA team where you had Kareem and Akeem ahead of Shaq, and Shaq doesn't play, that doesn't mean Shaq wasn't better than them.
It's a good argument. You pulled that one out. That was pretty good, man. That's a good argument. Right on, man. So. Yeah. All right, so here we go. Indiana Pacers. They were 47-35, sixth in the conference. They were ousted by the Celtics in four in the conference finals. You look at their offensive rating. They were second best offensive rating, all right? The best. This is, by the way, this second rating, this offensive rating, 121.85, is the second best in history of the NBA.
Wow.
Second best in the history of the NBA.
So whoever was first is the best in the history of the NBA.
And you know who that was?
Let me think. Boston.
Yes. 124.23 was their offensive rating. Best in the history of the NBA. All right? So you can see that the Pacers, I mean, they can hang offensively. But it's defense is where their problem's at, bro. 118.85, 24th. Net rating of 2.99, that's 10th. It's ahead of the Warriors. But, dude, these guys scream, run TMC, man, big time.
They do.
Right?
And you and I know how far run TMC got.
Yeah. Remember, we call these guys run TMP, right?
Yep.
Run TMP for Tyrese, Miles, and Pascal, you know, Siakam. Yep. That's run TMP. But these guys, man, they are run and gun, man. This team is very offensive-minded. They need to get better defensively, right?
They won't, Eddie. It'll cost them the offense to do it.
Maybe, but, you know, we'll see. So let me tell you who they picked up, right?
So
they drafted Tristan Newton. He actually is a pretty good defensive player out of UConn, all right? Okay. So maybe he could come up and relieve.
Yes, I remember him, yes.
He can relieve Tyrese Halliburton and bring in some, you know, some of that grit. They drafted at number 50, Enrique Freeman, but, you know, he's a project. He's probably going to be a two-way player. He's not going to be playing too much. They extended Pascal Siakam to 4 years, $189.5 million. They signed, dude, this guy could be a difference maker, James Wiseman. Dude, I'm just kidding. But you never know, man. You never know. Because they lost Jalen Smith. And Jalen Smith is a good player, man. Yes. He went to the Bulls, and he's going to be backing up or maybe even playing alongside Vucevic. But – you know, these, and then Obi Toppin, you know, he re-signed as well. So, all right. So projected starting lineup, you have Tyrese Halliburton as a point guard. You have shooting guard Andrew Nembhard out of Gonzaga. You have small forward Aaron Nesmith. Good defensive player, man. I, the only thing is that I think they need a better scoring threat. And, you know, you saw the clip that we have, you know, about, you know, where's Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant didn't go anywhere. He stayed with the Phoenix Suns. We thought he might end up here with the Bucks or the Pacers. But he didn't move, right? He would be a good fit. Like you said, he could be a good fit for anybody. Yeah. Okay, then you have power forward Pascal Siakam, then center Miles Turner. The rotation, right? TJ McConnell. Dude, this guy needs to play more. Man, that guy's good. He does. You know, he's really good, man. Okay,
he's a nuisance.
Who's said again?
He's a nuisance.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the word. That's the name he should have on the back of his jersey. Nuisance.
Yeah, yeah. So you got him coming off the bench. You have Benedict Mathurin. Dude, forget about that guy, right?
That's right, I mean,
those two guys themselves are a problem, right?
He was out most of last season, right?
He was out. Yeah. Just imagine him on the team during that whole playoff run. I mean,
so there's some defensive potential there, right there.
Yeah, but he's definitely.
I'm talking about nuisance.
Yeah, yeah, but even though they got swept by the Celtics, right, in the conference finals, but dude, they could have easily won two games. They were right there. They had two games, and they just blew it in the last seconds.
Yep,
and it's like, if that guy was on the team, who knows, man? They could have gone seven. You know, they would have.
Well, one of those games they called a moving screen that was.
Yeah, questionable.
Yes.
So anyway, you have another guy coming off the bench besides Mathurin and McConnell. You have Tristan Newton. You know, we just talked about him. Ben Shepherd, who's actually a producing player, and then Johnny Furphy, Jairus Walker, Isaiah Jackson, James Wiseman, Obi Toppin. I mean, these guys are pretty deep, man. They have a pretty deep squad. So if they have any semblance of a defense, they're going to be a problem. So I think that's the only part that they lack. Because if they do, they're going to be a problem. So as far as
is it Rick Carlisle? It's not Carlisle. Who's the coach?
Carlisle. Yeah, yeah, yep.
Carlisle.
Yep.
Okay.
Jim Carrey. Yep.
Yeah. Jim Carrey.
Yeah. But we already talked about their offensive. They're an offensive minded team that hardly plays any defense. They run and gun you. They try and outscore you, right? Just like we're in TMC. But they're a scary team to face for anybody because they're so deep and they're so offensive minded, right? In my opinion, I think that they're going to improve by four or five games next year, right?
Okay.
Right now, that's in sixth. They're sixth right now. That might put them in four or five. You never know, right? They were fortunate to be playing, in the playoffs last year against the depleted Bucks and Knicks team. That's why they went forward, because the Bucks and Knicks were thrashed, right? They were depleted, and that's why they kind of got there. But, they could have given Boston more problems if Benedict Mathurin was on the team. So, this team scared me, man. And I think, they remind me a lot of the 2015 Warriors, in my opinion. Yeah. They do. But the only thing is, the Warriors play defense. These guys didn't. So in order for these guys to, have that comparison to be valid, they have to play deep. So, yeah. Any comments, questions on the Indiana Pacers?
No. Thanks for the ratings. I think they're fantastic. They're definitely interesting to see where teams ranked. In some cases, they reflected good in terms of postseason success, and in other cases, the ratings were they didn't seem to impact postseason.
In my opinion, I think they're pretty indicative. I mean, the analytics is here to stay because it tells a story, man. And the eye test tells a story, analytics tells another story, and the analytics, I mean. It, like I said, it's here to stay. You take advantage of matchups with these analytics. You can kind of see, certain players against other players, kind of, metrics. There's a lot to this thing, man, and it's pretty popular, man. And so I also think it was very helpful to have it here. But
I liked it. Thank you. That was
right on, man. So hey, there you have it. We covered eight teams for our NBA preview for the upcoming season. As we mentioned, next week is the first. NBA preseason games starting next Friday with the Celtics and the Nuggets. And the opening day is actually going to be on the 22nd of October. It's a Tuesday. So we have the next 4 weeks. We covered eight teams today. We're going to cover another eight teams next week and another eight teams after that.
Well, I was going to ask you, if we have Angel next week, how's that going to?
We're just going to have a little bit of a longer show. All right, so we're at an hour and 9 minutes. It's not out of hand, all right? We've had longer ones, right? But, we appreciate the audience here listening and participating. Thanks for those questions that have posted or comments. But please feel free. We're live for a reason, because we want to hear from you. Please, by all means, give us any feedback on our content. If you like our content, please give us a thumbs up. But essentially, this is our show, man, for this week, man. This is Buzzer Beaters. You can find us at gremlingsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube. You can also find us at Pandora, Spotify, Apple, X, Facebook, pretty much anywhere you can find your podcasts. But I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, and we are signing off.